This flash briefing was made possible by a sponsorship from AveXis, a clinical stage gene therapy company. The following content was not developed by AveXis.
Welcome, and thank you for listening to the SMA flash briefing.
A study reports that a type of MRI called diffusion tensor imaging, or DTI, allows unique tracking of nerve fibers. It could be used to detail changes in the spinal nerve fibers of people with SMA. DTI could offer new insights into SMA development and help monitor disease course. It could also provide early biomarkers of how patients respond to therapies such as Spinraza or Zolgensma. The study was called Magnetic Resonance Imaging of the Cervical Spinal Cord in SMA. It was published in the journal NeuroImage Clinical. DTI is an increasingly popular MRI technique among clinicians and researchers. It studies the complex architecture of nerve cell connections in living humans, both in health and disease. It's a non-invasive method that uses existing MRI technology and requires no new equipment, contrast agents, or chemical tracers. DTI has exceptional sensitivity for water movements that are inside the white matter tracts of the brain and spinal cord. The white matter is the tissue where messages pass within the central nervous system. By tracking nerve fibers' activity, DTI provides a very detailed map of the structural organization and the status of the nerve tissue. It's so detailed that surgeons use it to see it when parts of the brain are needed to be protected during surgery. The technique has also been used to examine the brain, muscles, peripheral nerves, and the spinal cord of people with neuromuscular diseases like SMA. Given DTI's potential, scientists at the University Medical Center Utrecht in the Netherlands sought to use it for people with SMA. They wanted to see if they could track changes in the spinal cord and the spinal nerves. They developed a protocol to specifically look at the cervical spinal cord, which is in the neck region. In this region, they also looked at nerve roots. The dorsal root, which is closer to the back, is the sensory root that carries sensory information to the brain. The ventral root, closer to the front part of the body, is the motor root, and it carries motor information from the brain. Researchers scanned 10 patients ages 17 to 73 with SMA types 2, 3A, and 3B. They also scanned 20 healthy people as controls. Using standard MRI and DTI, they investigated several parameters. They looked at the cross-section of the spinal cord at each spinal segment and the diameter of ventral and dorsal nerve roots. The team also evaluated four diffusion parameters to investigate the structural properties of the nervous tissue. This included measuring the direction and the molecular speed that's inside nerve fiber tracts, plus the length of the diffusion in a specific orientation. The researchers also investigated axial diffusivity. This is diffusion along the main axis. And then there's radial diffusion, which is the diffusion perpendicular to the nerve. In people with SMA, the spinal cord area was slightly smaller compared with controls. However, this difference was not statistically significant. But DTI data revealed that SMA patients had significantly higher axial diffusivity signals in the gray matter. There were also lower values of diffusivity that were more pronounced at the nerve roots closer to the head. According to the scientists, this finding is in line with the muscle weakness that's seen in SMA. In SMA, muscles closer to the center of the body, called proximal muscles, are usually more affected than the muscles closer to the extremities. Muscles in the hand and feet are called distal muscles. But overall, this study confirmed the potential of this technique to assess disease-causing mechanisms in SMA, and further developed that the results suggest that MRI and DTI might provide unique anatomical and functional biomarkers to monitor SMA progression and treatment effects.
Coming up next, perspectives from SMA News Today Forums Director, Kevin Schaefer.
Are you interested in learning more about the latest treatment for spinal muscular atrophy? Visit treatsma.com to see how this treatment works, hear about family stories, and learn about the steps to starting treatment. visit treatsma.com.
Hey everyone, and happy Friday. For today, I wanted to share my thoughts about risdiplam. If FDA approved, risdiplam would be the first oral treatment for spinal muscular atrophy, and it's certainly a hot topic within the SMA community right now. It's raising a lot of interesting questions, and one of these questions is for people like me who are actively receiving Spinraza. The question is whether or not I would switch to risdiplam if and when it became FDA approved. This is certainly something to think about, but ultimately I'm not sure how to answer it right now. Currently, I'm very content with Spinraza, and as I've written about in my columns and talked about on the podcast before, it has shown really good improvements for me, such as some improved muscle strength and increased energy levels. It's also been a pretty smooth process for me. However, the appeal with risdiplam, of course, is that it's an oral treatment, meaning that I wouldn't have to go to the hospital every few months for a spinal injection, or in my case, a cervical injection. It's certainly appealing, but ultimately, I would need to talk with my doctor first and to see if my insurance company would cover the costs. Right now, we still don't know what the cost would be or any of that information. Right now, the drug is still in clinical trials, but we at SMA News Today will continue to provide updates as soon as we hear anything about the drug. So right now, I'm going to wait and see, but it's certainly an interesting topic. If you are in the same boat as me, I'd recommend talking with your doctor and at least seeing what the possibilities would look like for risdiplam. We'll, of course, be talking about it more on this podcast and on our site as a whole, so be sure to follow us at smanewstoday.com. Thanks, everyone, and hope you all have a great weekend. I'm Kevin Schaefer, Forums Director for SMA News Today.
The information in our flash briefings and podcast are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to SMA News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. All of our podcast and flash briefings can be found on our website at www.smanewstoday.com. You can also find our podcast and flash briefings on SoundCloud, Spotify, and iTunes. And be sure to follow us on our Instagram and Facebook page as well. For SMA News Today, I'm Michael Morale, Multi-Channel Content Director.